Sharon Isbin is a multiple Grammy award-winning classical guitarist. She's here to talk about her documentary, Sharon Isbin, Troubadour, and give us her spin on her LGBT issues. Hi, Sharon.
Hello, how are you, Charlotte?
Fine, how are you?
Good.
Tell us about your documentary.
Well, it's been 6 years in the making, and 5 years of filming, a year post-production. It's very exciting. It's called Sharon Isbin, Troubadour, and the title, Troubadour, is evocative, really, of traveling the world and sharing my story and my songs. And even though I'm not a singer, the guitar has been my voice. And I'm really honored that many of the participants in this film are people that have largely figured in my life as friends or as musical colleagues. And people like Joan Baez, Martina Navratilova, Garrison Keillor, some wonderful composers like Steve Vai and Tan Dunn, John Coriano from the classical world, jazz people like Stanley Jordan and Paul Winter, Mark O'Connor, even a stint at the White House with Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. Very exciting. And David Hyde Pierce makes a cameo appearance, rather irresistible.
What was your inspiration for doing it?
It really happened quite by accident. I knew that I wanted in some way to document the kinds of work that I have done collaboratively that has really taken the guitar to a new horizon. And I think that for people to be able to see that in process, almost like being a fly on the wall and seeing what the nature of the interaction is with the composers and with the performers, they really gain insight into this very mysterious and magical process, and hopefully will become inspired to do similar things in their own lives and their own careers.
What would you like to accomplish with this film?
One of the things I found very gratifying is that a lot of the comments I receive after people have seen it at the various screenings we've had is that they feel very much invigorated and inspired to pursue their own passion. And whether they are musicians or writers or actors, it almost doesn't seem to matter what the genre is. Somehow it communicates a sense that if you really believe in something and you are determined to make it happen and you have the skills and the ability to realize that dream, that it is possible.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
My brother, Neil Isbin, who was 5 years older than I, was a very strong activist in the community. He lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and was president of every gay organization there was, and lobbied successfully in the end to get the gay rights bill passed in the state of New Mexico. It happened after his death, but he is credited with being the person who really paved the way. And both Neil and I were very, very close. He unfortunately passed away from AIDS at the age of 44. And he was a remarkable person. And I think he inspired me really to be a political activist as well as just simply doing what I believe in. And one of the things that Neil felt very strongly about is that people have to be themselves and they have to be open. And if they're gay, it's important that their friends, their colleagues, and the people that are coming in contact with them professionally know this, because it helps them to really understand and normalize the whole situation in their own minds. And I think that that really influenced me in terms of deciding back in 1995 to become open in the press.
What would you like to see happen for LGBT equality in the next few years?
Well, wouldn't it be a wonderful world if you didn't have to worry about simply wanting the same rights that everybody else has, whether it be marriage, whether it be job security, whether it be education opportunities, not to be bullied? I mean, these are basic human rights that we're still fighting for today. And it would be wonderful if that world changed and people could really feel free to be who they are and be accepted by their families, be accepted by their colleagues and their friends, and really live their lives without having to worry about a sexual orientation being a determining factor in whether or not they can be accepted or successful.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
There are some outstanding organizations that have really helped people, such as GLSEN, G-L-S-E-N, and Point Foundation, which gives scholarships to gay youth. And I think that one of the hallmarks of both these organizations is that they train people for leadership skills, as well as giving them the tools and the opportunities to really self-actualize. I would encourage anybody who is struggling with this issue to contact GLSEN or Point Foundation.
How can people get information about when your documentary will be airing on PBS and where you'll be performing?
A good resource is my website, SharonIsbin.com, and Isbin is spelled I-S-B-I-N, and it's constantly updated with the various screening dates and locations and times. There are going to be almost 200 public television stations carrying this presentation, which American Public Television is distributing, and this will be over the period of time, November, December, and January, and then on into 2015 as well. You can also contact your local PBS station to see when they're planning to broadcast it.
What other projects are you working on?
I'm excited that Chris Brubeck is writing a concerto for me now that I'm going to premiere in April with the Maryland Symphony, and it's a work that is in tribute to his late father, Dave Brubeck, so it incorporates jazz elements. Chris is a jazz musician as well as composer, and some funky Middle Eastern grooves, and it's just a dynamite piece that I'm looking forward to bringing to life. I'm also collaborating with the Met opera star, Isabel Leonard, in a series of concerts this year and next, and one of the projects a year from now is that Carnegie Hall is co-commissioning with the Harris Theater in Chicago a new work to be written, a song cycle for the two of us, and we'll be premiering that at Carnegie Hall in November of 2015.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
I would love if they said, how can I endow a scholarship program for your wonderful students at Juilliard, or support great organizations like GLSEN.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra to get you through difficult times?
Something that has always sustained me is that no just means try harder when it comes to projects you believe in and want to see to fruition. It means that if someone doesn't take to the idea right away, that you just find another way around it until you convince them. With the first composer I ever approached when I was 17 years old, I asked if he would write a guitar concerto for me. And his response was, no, the guitar, what a silly, stupid instrument, I wouldn't even think of such a thing. And later I suggested, when I ran into him at a party, I said, well, what if I played for you? I bet I could change your mind. He said, well, I'll be in New York in a few months if we get together there. Sure, why not? So I played for him, and after an hour he said, I think I can write you a concerto. And that is one of the pieces featured in the Sharon Isbin Troubadour documentary, because it's the first one ever written for me. I've since had dozens of works that I have premiered, and it was very exciting to see that not only in the battle I faced as a guitarist that I could convince people who didn't respect the instrument to change their mind about that, but also as a woman to change the guitar world, where it's been exciting to be at the forefront and a pioneer for the instrument, creating the first guitar department at Juilliard, even winning the first Grammy in classical for a guitarist after nearly 30 years, and many other firsts, being the only guitarist at this point to have ever recorded with the New York Philharmonic. So I'm inspired by challenges and not deterred by them.